Welcome to the June 28th, 2020 Lord's Day service of New York Church. Call to the worship comes from Psalm 89, verse 1 through 2. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. Amen. Today is the second installment of the Trilogy of Red, and with the title of House of Red or House with Red. I'll read the scripture reading first. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Now one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike down. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe the ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped." Last scripture reading comes from Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon the thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000 times. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they say, 'Worthy the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" Amen. Oh, Spirit of Wisdom, impart your wisdom to us as we share this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's message has 2 points, liberation and man. First, liberation. Israelites achieved freedom in succession by the nine plagues and finally total breakage of bondage by the 10th plague. The irony of the plague is that it has two contrasting faces. There is no denial of its disastrous effects on the people. Disruptive nature of the lifestyle and the way of conducting business as a society and of operating the world. The construction was at a halt due to water contamination, frogs, flies, and boils, and there were no more crops in the field and livestock to tend to due to animal disease and hailstones, locusts, and gnats. It had freed the people of Israelites, actually, from their enslaved situation to work in the name of earning a livelihood for the family and possibly personal career development in the Egyptian system. It is particularly true for some men. In the midst of COVID-19, we have had 2 new births of babies in our church family. It is a happy occasion, but in typical situation before COVID-19, how much it would have been a burden for the families and the logistical nightmares for the mom and dad to figure out the way to take care of the kids. But the fathers and mothers are already at home working or spending time together because of COVID-19. Society and business practices have no other options to allow they would be stay home. I have talked with one brother who has 2 little children. He said that one time he had an exceptional occasion that to go back to his office in a long time. When he casually told his little ones that daddy goes to office to work, To his surprise, kids were giving him a look. Then why do you have to go to work while you are already working at house? The kids were so used to dad working at home while staying with them. The concept that daddy had to go somewhere else to work has become foreign to the little ones. The kids were so right to catch the fallacy of this social norm that we have been practicing and so accustomed for past couple of hundred years, particularly after the Industrial Revolution in Great Britain. Before then, fathers usually work at home or a nearby farm and shop. But gradually, we have been separating the human activities and assigned it to the different locations besides home. So in order to work and earn, you have to commute 1 hour, 30 minutes, or 2 hours to distant places. To get the education, you need to go to school to take the bus and provide the right and circumstances. To have a family dinner, you go to family diner. To practice faith, you go to church and send the kids to Sunday schools instead of family devotion and parenting. Our time management situation is similar with that of a situation of a flood. We have a scarcity of drinking water in the middle of a gigantic flood. We are being flooded with time schedules and the time demands and all kinds of time management schemes. Someone must have come up with this sinister scheme of paying by the hour and minutes. So time is money, and when time becomes money, there is no need in our yearning and greed, no end in our yearning and greed over money and time. Since we all know that we have a limited time, and for us to expand our time consumption is by taking up the time of other people's. How do we do that? By purchasing time by money. So the vicious cycle of exchange between time and money is complete. Modern man to the postmodern man is on the endless pursuit of time and money, on the treadmill of a working heart. By introducing the plague-like situation, God is putting the screeching halt to this almost satanic scheme of time deprivation, of sucking the life out of a man's own life, of a situation that man is alienated by the very life of gift God has given. Satan and its worldly system turned the gift of blessing to the source of class cursing. It is no wonder that God said in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, "On that same night, our path through the Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord." Number two, God restores his original scheme of man's happiness with which he has introduced. It is covenant making with man after the creation covenant in Genesis chapter 1. To the first man, Adam, the name actually means the soil, the ground. In Genesis chapter 2 account, God has made a very personal covenant by instituting two sets of relationships. The first one has to do with the relationship with the people, the family relationship. By starting the marriage between man and woman as the foundation. And the second relationship has to do with the space and location and its function. It's the where God and man meet together. It's the garden. Bible named it Eden, as it did specifically named Adam to the man of the family. Satan's rebel against God is focused on this very structure of God's covenant scheme between man and God. Yes, it is a personal one, Satan's scheme, but not a random one. He attacks the area where it creates the most damage and demise upon the covenant structure of God's design. It is a war raising over two competing systems over the man and his word. With this understanding in mind, it becomes apparent in the first chapter of Exodus account, verse 14. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. Men are taken out from home and put into the enslaved labor in the worldly system, work and labor. One by one, family members are missing at home. First, the fathers go to work. Secondly, children to the schools, after schools, extracurricular activities, and mothers, second career, making the ends meet or supporting the children's extracurricular activities, or together to afford family vacation of some sort, or a second house in the beach, etc. And finally, grandparents join the march to evacuate the evacuation project from home to the silver town, to the retired home, and lastly to the nursing home, which is not home at all. To be honest, in the end, who is spending the most time at home keeping the house all day by themselves? It's your pets, cats and dogs. Please don't get me wrong. I recognize the need of all these helpful social entities. I myself had been involved in the running of childcare and summer school programs for long years. But my focus on this message is that from time to time that we need to take a step back from the daily run of operation and observe how they collectively have impacted our life as a whole, as Christians. God's corrective is to put the man at the center of family activities and the neighbor building by friendship. Chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, verse 3, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is take a lamb for his family. In original word is a father's family, one for each household. Original language, Hebrew, is a father's family. Verse 4, if any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. A couple of weeks ago, I have received a text from one father of our church. His kindergarten daughter posted him a question, why does God live in heaven? I want to give the father credit that not to trivialize his daughter's questions, nor to give a short answer or a ready-made answer. He said to his daughter, very wisely, hi, Audrey, let us make that as our summer project, to do some research and ask the people around how they think about it. So he asked my help to assist his effort. I had a Zoom meeting with his daughter this week and plans to work on together. I posed the same question to the parents all over America of my acquaintances to solicit their help to send me their children's answers. To my surprise, I have been receiving very thought-provoking responses from the children in Texas, Oregon, Maryland, New Jersey, California, and Pennsylvania. No Sunday school materials can come up with this curriculum to match with that. It is to empower parents to their original place in Adam's covenant, beginning from father, mother, brothers and sisters, grandparents. Right before this message, I received the new post of question he has received from the daughter. Are you ready? Why do we sing? Why do we sing? How would you answer it? I believe that this is what God meant to ask each man to kill a year-old lamb and share it with the family members and neighbors while putting the blood at the doorpost, protecting his family and home. It is worthy of a question that Jesus died for, and Jesus wanted to protect this family, this neighbor, who pondered upon these questions upon the Word of God, and sharing the wisdom together, searching the Word of God, and from other peoples, other Christian peoples, even from other world, other wisdoms and the godly people and wise people in the world. There is no end in the curriculum. And this is how to empower the family members, and the beginning from man and woman and mom and the father. God wants to move the center of His salvation operation from the world, even from the typical visible church, to the family and home by His covenant scheme. Other social organizations continue to be needed, but should not eclipse nor take the place of family and home. It is a sacred one instituted, none other than that, by God Himself. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your message. And even though we are going through this crisis of COVID-19, as we look back to the 10 plagues occasion and also Passover event, and we come to realize it is in God's control. It is in a way that God restores His covenant structure, covenant blessing upon family and home. And that has been missing it out, lost in our busy activities and actions. Oh, Father God, help us to understand this awesome moment, opportunity God has given us, man and woman, to the family and to the neighbor, to the church, to the world. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, and communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon us throughout the day, throughout the week, for the rest of our lives, from home and onward. Amen.